In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're at the bottom of page 1, 5:20, 1903. Louisa said, I found myself outside of myself, with blessed Jesus in my arms, in the midst of many people who with irons and swords and knives were trying to beat, some to wound, some to cut off the members of our Lord. And Louisa says, Lord, I offer my life for the Holy Church and for the triumph of truth. This is why we're alive today. The church is being attacked from within and from without. Our job is to offer our life for His Holy Church and for the triumph of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the triumph of Jesus. We're not here to battle anyone. We're not here to fight anyone. Paul says we're fighting principalities and powers. This is something that is very, very essential that we understand. This battle that we're in, it's to offer our life as a soldier for Christ, in the army of Christ, for His Holy Church. And, you know, it's for us, it's going to be different battles. It's the same battle, but different battles. But the triumph of Jesus is going to occur. And therefore, she says, accept, I pray you, I beg you, I plead with you, my sacrifice. That's what prayer is. Prayer is begging and pleading. I pray you, I beg you, I plead with you, take my sacrifice. And then they took a sword and cut off my head. So here Louisa is outside of her body and they killed her. And Jesus, blessed Jesus, accepted my sacrifice. But while they were doing this, in the act of making the sacrifice, to my highest sorrow, I found myself inside myself. She thought she died. She thought she was going to heaven. And to my greatest sorrow, I was still alive. Do you see what this victimhood is? It's not to say, that's not the word. It's not just words. It's more than that. It's to want to be with Jesus. And here she says, I give you my sacrifice. And they took the sword and cut off her head. And blessed Jesus accepted my sacrifice. But to my greatest sorrow, I was still alive. You get a glimpse of who Louisa is. This beauty of this beautiful person, this beautiful soul is so important. Somebody mentioned to me that we got to remember when we're talking about 40 centuries since the flood. Something's coming. 20 centuries since Jesus died on the cross. Something's coming. Hang on to your hat. It's going to be great. It's going to be glorious. Volume 6, 9, 27, 1904. My daughter, the only relief, the only pleasure that a creature can give me, God, in these times is to sacrifice herself voluntarily for me. No pressure. Lord, I want to do this for you. I want to die to my ego and my will. I want to die. I don't want any more worries, no more fears, no more anxieties, no more complaints, no more negativities, no more sin. I voluntarily ask for this. I want to live this life. In fact, since my sacrifice for them was all voluntary, whatever I, Jesus, wanted, when I find the will of the to sacrifice for me, I, Jesus, feel as though repaid for what I, God, did for them. Therefore, if you want to relieve me, if you want to give me, God, pleasure, sacrifice yourself voluntarily for me. That's what we do when we do our prevenient act every morning. I'm not doing anything by myself anymore. Lord, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites, but we're standing in the breach for everybody, past, present, and future. I stand in the breach, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth, in me, on earth, as it is in heaven. This is what God is looking for. Those who can voluntarily do this every morning and then throughout the day with your actual acts. Volume 6, 10, 16, 1905. When a soul receives a command and she exercises obedience to obey that person in order to acquire virtue, to sacrifice her own human will, and for many other possible reasons. Now, by doing so, the soul perceives that she is exercising obedience. She feels the toil. She feels the sacrifice that this virtue brings with itself. Then, another then obeys not for the sake of obeying that person, but for other reasons, but knowing that God would be displeased by her disobedience, so she looks at God in the one who is commanding her, and for love of him, she sacrifices everything and obeys. That's what we went through for the last 40 days. We obeyed. And again, you can be miserable about it, or you can give your fiat. Lord, you're in charge. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. And what you said to Louisa, when the churches close, you close them, then you're doing this for a reason. You're doing this for a reason. It's to be peaceful in all situations. You're the Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my God. You know everything that I need, and I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. And if this is what we have to do, fiat, so be it. Great things are in store. The kingdom is coming. In this, the soul who does not perceive that she is obeying, but only that she is loving, because she is obeyed not only out of love, otherwise she would have disobeyed. So we do this for the love of God. We this past 40 days, we might not have understood it. Maybe years from now, we will understand clearly why God allowed this to happen. But I'll tell you honestly, it's a new beginning. 40 centuries ago, the flood. 20 centuries ago, the crucifixion, death, and resurrection. Remember what Jesus said? I think it's in volume 19. He says, every 2,000 years, I renew the face of the earth. So with Adam to the flood, from the flood to when Jesus died, from when Jesus died until now. That's why John Paul II said, get ready for the new millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the third millennium, the glory of the church of the new springtime of mankind. It's a new beginning that's happened. It's really, this is, you have to see it from a divine perspective. Don't be upset. I give your fiat. But see, Jesus is saying, let me reign in you. Let me fill you with my peace. He said that. I want to give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. This is what God's got planned. Volume 7, 10, 13, 1906. My daughter, in order to know whether a soul is stripped of everything, it is enough to see this. If holy or even indifferent desires arises within the soul and she is ready to sacrifice them to the divine volition with holy peace, it means that that soul is stripped and she becomes, and if she becomes disturbed and upset, it means that she is keeping something for herself. It's always fiat. It's always fiat. No matter what's going on. So say, for example, you have a very important appointment and you're on the road and there's an accident and everything is stopped and you go, I gotta be there. I've gotta be there. You know, what am I gonna do? What? It's something is wrong. Okay. It should be for each and every one of us fiat. Okay, Lord, you don't want me to be there at this time. Thank you. You want me to be there? I'll be there. It's a total docility, a total surrender, a total submission to be peaceful. That's why he says, if it's holy or even indifferent, if you are ready to sacrifice your will, what you want, in the divine will with holy peace, it means that you're stripped of everything. You're going to be clothed in divinity. See, God has to strip us of the human. Why? To reclothe us in divinity. Adam was naked. Why? He lost the clothing of divinity. Jesus on the cross was stripped. Why? He represented Adam with nothing, and God wanted to reclothe him when he rose from the dead in divinity. That's what God is going to do with us. He's going to reclothe us in divinity. Volume 8, 10, 29, 1907. What is sacrifice? It is empty. It is to empty oneself out of the love and being in the being with of the beloved. I'm sorry, let me read that again. What is sacrifice? It is to empty oneself out in the love and in the being of the beloved. And the more one sacrifices himself, the more he is consumed in the being of the beloved. Losing his own and acquiring all the features of divine nobility of the divine being. See, this is also in the natural world. Even though very imperfect, who acquires a name, nobility, heroism, a soldier who sacrifices himself, a soldier who exposes himself in battle, a soldier who lays down his life for the love of a king or for another who stands arms with hands on his hips. Certainly the first one. The same for a servant. Who can hope to sit at the table with his master? The faithful servant who sacrifices himself, who lays down his life, who has greater care for the interests of his master than for his own, out of love for his master, or the servant who, though he fulfills his duty, listen to this, when he can shun the sacrifice, shuns it. Certainly the first. The same for a son with his father, or a friend with his friend, who is with all the rest. Therefore, love ennobles, love unifies, and love forms one single thing, sacrifice. Sacrifice is the wood to make the fire glow, the fire of love grow. Obedience then orders everything. So here Jesus is saying, right from the beginning, I want you to sacrifice yourself. And nobody, our human will is, I'm in charge. Don't tell me what to do. That's our human will. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? No. Jesus has sacrificed. You say, yes, Lord. I am nothing. You are everything. Well, that's why when I go into church, when I genuflect because you are my king. I put myself on my knees because you have the sword. You can behead me at any time. I am your servant. I am your slave. You are everything. You're my king. You're my God. You're my all. When you bless yourself, you don't throw water around. You bless yourself. Father, bless me. Son, bless me. Holy Spirit, bless me. Bless my family. Be with me this day. Every home should have a holy water font, inside and outside the house if you wish. But you got to bless yourself every day. The exercise holy water, the demons flee and they don't come back. That's what Saint Teresa says. They might send in other people or other beings to bother you. We are at war. The sacrifice is necessary to honor the king. Remember, Paul says we're not fighting humans. We're fighting principalities and powers. That's what God wants us to be aware of. Volume 14, 9, 9, 22. In fact, when one being forms one single thing with another being, if one is the Lord, the other two becomes Lord as though naturally. This has been the only reason for which I had commanded man, Adam, to abstain from the fruit prohibited by me. I, God, wanted an act of sacrifice of his human will with my most holy divine will, so that by sacrificing, binding Adam's human will with mine, Adam might take the possession of my divine will and I of his human will, and both might reign with the same power, same wisdom, same goodness. This is where we are. This is where we are today. Jesus is saying, the kingdom's coming. you've prayed the Our Father for 2,000 years. The kingdom is coming. And he says, get ready. A new era has begun. The new era has begun, I honestly believe, because of these last 40 days. And we have to begin to live this abundant life now. Don't wait. Don't say, well, I'm not sure. When did this ever happen? The last time there was no masses, if you want to say, no public masses in Italy was before Peter and Paul got there. Last time there was no public, as soon as Peter and Paul got there, there was public masses until they had to go underground. And then there were still public masses underground in the catacombs. When has this ever happened that all of Italy did not have a public mass? You have to see what's going on. What did Our Lady say to Father Gobi? Look at the Marian movement of priests. Listen to what Our Lady said. Everything that she told Father Gobi in the 70s is happening. It's happened. We have to understand the time we're living in. Why is this happening? The kingdom is coming. This is not normal. this is abnormal, as they said. It's a new beginning that's coming. The kingdom is coming. And Jesus has to say to each and every one of us, what do you want? I have to give it to you. The devil wanted hell. I gave the hell to the devil. What do you want? Jesus says, you want to be faithful to me in my church, my holy church? Or do you want to rebel against it as well? Inside and out, that's what's going on. Are we faithful and obedient to Christ and his church? Are we spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament? When we receive Holy Communion, are we in communion with Jesus for that 15 minutes that the church teaches us, where Jesus is alive in us, the real presence of Jesus in a mystical way, where we can adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him, glorify him? Or are we storming out of the church, you know, smoking our cigarettes and drinking our coffee because nothing has changed? Jesus says, I have to give you what you want. This gift of the divine will gets us ready for the kingdom, because it's here. Remember 2,000 years ago, Jesus says to those that questioned him, you're not far from the reign of God. Because of Louisa, the kingdom is here. A human born of original sin possesses this. That's why Jesus calls her the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. A new beginning is here. This is a glorious time. This is a magnificent time. Vine 15:12:1:19:22. True reigning is virtue, and the stripping of everything is to sacrifice oneself to everyone and to submit oneself to everyone. Okay, what does that mean? The true reigning is a virtue, but you have to be stripped of everything. To truly reign with Christ, you have to be stripped of everything. To sacrifice yourself for everyone and to submit yourself to everyone. This is where the fiat comes in. Remember the Blessed Mother. When Joseph said, we have to go to Egypt, Our Lady didn't say, wait a minute, we got a house in Nazareth. Come on, let's get practical. She said, fiat, we're going to Egypt. Submitting to Joseph. Again, submission is a word that's hated today. Submission, docility, surrender. It's hated, despised. I'm in charge, don't tell me what to do. True reigning is a virtue, but you have to be stripped of everything. You're not in charge anymore. Jesus, you're in charge. You know, there's a book out there, if you want to change your husband, how to change your husband, read it. It's very, very powerful. What's coming is the kingdom. Volume 18:12:25:19:25. My daughter, it is true that living in my divine will is a gift. This is the gift of gifts, Jesus says. And it is to possess the greatest gift. But this gift contains infinite value. This is what the divine will is all about. And it is a currency that arises at each instant. And that is light that never goes out. It is a sun that never sets and puts the soul in her place. Established by God in the divine order. We're put in our place. What does that mean? Order. It's to be what God has planned. He says, I want to make every human being a divine masterpiece. I want to put them in order. I want to put you in your place. Now, we look at it as, you're not going to put me in my place. Nobody's going to do that. But it's no, God has to be in charge. Established by God in the divine order, and therefore the soul takes her place of honor. The soul takes her place of the sovereignty in creation. We are to be the kings of the earth, the queens of the earth. He made the earth. Adam was the king. Why did Jesus come as the King of Kings? To take Adam's place, to start over again. Eve was the queen, the mother. Why did Our Lady come as the queen of heaven and earth? Mother, the holy mother of God, is to start everything over again. Who's the newborn? Louisa. When we learn what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa, we can enter into this abundant life before we die. He says, Jesus talks about resurrection. He says, I didn't rise from the dead so that you can rise from the dead after you die. He says, I want you to rise from the dead now. I don't want you to be filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's death. He says, I want you to rise now. So Jesus says this, to rise to your place of honor and sovereignty in creation is given to the one who is disposed. How do we become disposed? By listening to Jesus, by listening to Mary in the Book of Heaven. Either you believe that Jesus and Mary spoke to Louisa, or you don't. I believe it. I mean, what Jesus says to Louisa in the Book of Heaven, he didn't say to the saints, because the saints learned how to do the will of God. What Jesus taught Louisa is how to live in the will of God. Jesus says this, it is given to the soul who is disposed, to the soul who shall not waste this gift. What? How do you waste the divine will? By leaving the book on the shelf, by skipping it one day. That's wasting it. To the one who shall esteem the divine will so much and to love the divine will more than his own life, even more, he must be ready to sacrifice his own life. Well, how? I have to read today. I have to focus on what Jesus is saying to me. I have to focus on what the Blessed Mother is saying to me today. So that this gift of my divine will may have the supremacy over everything, over sports, over entertainment, over your life, over my life, and to be held as more than life itself, even more, his life is nothing compared to the divine life. Therefore, first, I, God, want to see that the soul really wants to do my divine will and never again to do her human will. That's what we say when I do it. We do our prevenient act every morning. That soul is ready to make any sacrifice in order to do my most holy divine will, to live in my most holy divine will. And that everything she does, she always asks me first for the gift of my divine will, even if it's just alone. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, walk in my walking. Come, divine will, swim in my swimming. Come, divine will, dance in my dancing. I never want to do anything separate from the divine will. And I always want to ask you, Jesus, every single moment, let's do this together. Come, divine will. And see that, you see what Jesus is saying? As this begins, as you begin to live this life, this abundant life, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, what happens is nothing bothers you. Nothing can bother you. And God will put you to the test to see what that's number four. That's the fourth step. God will put you in the test to see whether or not you're going to say fiat. And sometimes it's difficult. Most times it's difficult until we learn to say fiat. Volume 28, 10, 7, 1930. It would not be decorous for our divine works to be entrusted to souls who are inconstant, souls that are not disposed to face any sacrifice for us, triune God. Jesus says, I can't give this to the souls that are inconstant. I can't give this to the souls who are not disposed to sacrifice anything and everything for us, triune God. I can't give this to you. You'll waste it. So the first thing we have to do is learn how to sacrifice, to die to our ego and our will. Again, and like I mentioned before, stop saying I, me, mine. Try to talk to someone without using those words. You're going to see how important you are. Oh, I can't talk like that. Of course you can't, because you're God. Everything is around you. Who do you, you know, you can't talk about anything because you got to talk about yourself. You know, sometimes what I do when I get on the phone, and I'm busy, I'll say, well, tell me what you're doing. And I don't have to say another word. It's me, 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 me. I. It's hilarious. If you ever want to hear something good, listen to Brian Regan do that one. That's he's a great comedian. Me, 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 me. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. It's that word, I, me, and my, is you're not disposed. It's a symptom of not being disposed. It's to be live in our nothingness. Father Bucci says that very clearly. You have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. If you think you're living in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. You're nothing. I'm nothing. God is everything. That's where our focus is. So he says very clearly, the sacrifice of the creature is the defense of our divine works, Jesus says. And it is like putting them in a safe place. Sacrifice. Eliminate I, me, and my. Try to write to someone. Try to email someone without using the word I. It's a great practice. How do you do it? Like I said, you know, use the word we, and they'll probably say, who's we? And it's Jesus and I. We're working together. We're doing this. See, what happens is that union takes place. That's what God is looking for. Volume 29, 424, 1931. Here then is the necessity of your acts and of your sacrifices, even of your life, in order to make my divine will known. Who's it? We're to make this known to ourselves. Your family doesn't want this. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want this. Nobody wants this. When Jesus says it has to be known, he's saying you have to know this. You who are reading this, you have to know what I am teaching you. That's what, not me, what Jesus is teaching us. It says very, very clearly. Here's the necessity of your, let me see, my right 21. Okay. Here then is the necessity of your acts and of the sacrifice, even of your own life, in order to make my most holy divine will known to yourself, to make the divine will reign in yourself. There is no greater work than this. And this is why I, God, want your repeated acts. Fiat, fiat, fiat. Your incessant prayers. May your kingdom come on earth. Divine will, breathe in my breathing. Dance in my dancing. Sing in my singing. And your prolonged sacrifice of a bury of life buried alive. No more am I going to be reigning. Jesus, it's your reigning. What are we going to do today? You open up the refrigerator. Jesus, you want some ice cream? I mean, work with, talk to Jesus. Be in communion with Jesus. Jesus, you want some, you know, ice cream? And he'll go, no, we've had enough. So, I mean, listen to him. He really loves to play around. Our God, he is always playing with us. I mean, look at what he did when he rose from the dead. He hides in the garden, and Mary Magdalene says, where's my Savior? And he goes, Mary. I mean, he well, on the road to Emmaus. He says, don't you guys know what's happened? They said, don't you know what has happened? And he goes, don't you know sacred scripture? I mean, he's playing. He's on the beach. He's cooking some fish. And he goes, children, did you catch anything? Playing with the apostles. He is a good father. One of his titles is Jesus, Father of the Age to Come. He's always playing with his children. Get used to his humor. It's wonderful. So what does he do? He tells Peter, a fisherman, cast onto the other side. And Peter's going, it's morning. There's no more fish. And the other side, it's not deep enough. Here's Peter basically, you know, like mocking. Okay, sure. Throw the net over there. And what comes out? 153 fish, the big fish of the Sea of Galilee. And then John goes, it's the Lord. And what is he? He puts his clothes on and jumps into the water. I mean, God is having fun. He's walking on the water and during the storm. And Peter says, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. And he goes, come on out in the boat. And he walks 20 feet and he starts sinking because the waves are so big. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Where's your faith? Why did you falter? What's wrong with you? It's the humor of God. He's always playing with us. He's a good father, father of the age to come. Jesus, the father of the age to come. Get to know God's humor. You know, what is he doing walking on the water? It's like, well, he can do anything he wants. And then what does he do? Come on over, have some fish. You know, bring some of those fish over here. Let's cook them up. Our Lord is getting us ready for what? The kingdom. He is already in the glorified body. And he wants his apostles, get ready. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Our God is he's a good and loving God. A lot of people, I think, offend him because they don't understand his humor. Sometimes that happens to us. Okay. Volume 24. Okay, volume 29, I'm sorry. Okay, I want your repeated acts, I think that's where we are. I want your repeated acts, your incessant prayers, your prolonged sacrifice, a life buried alive. Listen to that. This is nothing other than this spacious ground. See, he's going to raise us up. Spacious ground in which to place such a great good. Volume 30. 7:14, 1932, you must know, and this is a command from Jesus Christ, you must know that sacrifice with powerful voice calls God. And doing our most holy divine will makes God descend into the soul to let God operate as the God he is. That's not a God that's 1,000 miles away. He's closer to us than our own breath. Jesus says, call upon him. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, beat in my heart beating. Come, divine will. And Jesus says, you have to understand this. The way this is happening is through sacrifice. That's the first step of living in the divine will. With a powerful voice, God calls. I mean, this is what's so amazing. This, with a powerful voice, calls God, and by doing our divine will, makes God descend into the soul to let God operate as the great God that he is. Volume 31, 11:27, 1932. Therefore, there is a great difference between the one who operates in my divine will and the one who operates without the divine will. The first has the sun, S-U-N, at her disposal. That makes her drink in large gulps of divine light, of sweetnesses, of divine sanctities, of invincible patience, of heroism, of sacrifices. The second, without the divine will, has the night that gives her sips to maintain her passions, sips to debilitate her and to make her lose the sight of heaven, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. The difference between the one and the other is great. Therefore, be attentive. And that means to me, again, be attentive. Read, listen to Jesus every day. And let my divine will consume you and transform you completely into divine light. Remember, we talked about this before. The saints had a nimbus around their head, a halo of light. Jesus says the little children in the holy divine will are going to have the light that Jesus had on Mount Tabor. They're going to have the light of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. This light is to live in the divine will. The saints with that nimbus of light was to do the will of God. There is a vast difference. And Jesus says, now is the time to enter into this light. He says, you are the light of the world. He's talking about the little children, the holy divine will. This is indeed a great time to be alive. 531, 1933. We act like a father when he gives his endowment to his son. His son works, he sacrifices himself very much, and in this way he increases his endowment and expands his properties, and the father is delighted more than if the properties and fortunes of his son were his own. So we triune God do as well, or rather, we triune God still do more. When we triune God see a soul all attentive, ready to make any sacrifices, we, triune God, do not leave the soul alone, but we, triune God, work together with that soul. We, triune God, lend that soul everything that is needed. That's our divine will, our divine sanctity, our divine acts, everything. Why? To have the contentment of seeing our child, our daughter, the possessor of many divine properties. The kingdom is coming. It's not about the fallen human nature anymore. The kingdom is coming. And Jesus is saying, begin to live this abundant life. How do we begin to live this abundant life? Read, study, put this into practice. Make this your everything. If you're going to Holy Mass every day, you're as soon as we are allowed to go back to Holy Mass every day, you're listening to the sacred scripture every single day. Old Testament, New Testament, and within 3 years, you've read everything that the church wants you to focus on in the Gospels, in the readings. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to read about the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he calls the book of heaven. That's what he says in Matthew 24, until the gospel of the kingdom is to proclaim to all the world. Why would Jesus use the same words when he talks to St. Honorable de Francia in volume 19, that this is the gospel of love, this is the testament of the kingdom, it's the gospel of the kingdom. Why would he use those words unless he has something planned? This is exciting. This is unbelievable. And as you read this, as you study this, as you absorb what these words of Jesus to you, you cannot be the same anymore. What happens? The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin disappear. This is a glorious time. Volume 31, 2:24, 1933. So he says, the doubts, the difficulties, the pains shall serve like the wood of, and the fire would serve the poor farmer to cook the seed that was harvested, to make of it his food. In the same way, they can serve me as your sons, to make them mature in the hearts as wood and fire, to give them not only with words, but with the practice, and to cook them with the sacrifice of the fire of one's own life. He's saying they've got to be destroyed. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin, they've got to be burned away. They can't be part. Either they're burned away in this life, or you're going to go to purgatory for a long time to burn them out of you. You can't get into heaven if these are part of your life. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. To convert them what? Into the most delicious food. Why? To feed the creatures, to feed the souls. Once these worries, fears, anxieties, complaints, negativities, and sins are gone, you begin to feed with this bread, this first bread, the bread of the divine will. Therefore, I, God, therefore, do not want to worry. do not want to make our divine will, excuse me, I'm reading this wrong, sorry. Therefore, do not want to worry and making our divine will your own. Lay down the sacrifice of your life if needed. To why? To obtain that my divine will be known. By whom? By you. My divine will be loved. By whom? By you. And to make the divine will reign in the whole world, in the midst of your families, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your parishioners. You begin to live this. This peace, this joy, this happiness is the life of Jesus, is the life of Mary. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. Sacrifice those, Jesus says. That's what has to go. Well, I'm living in the divine will, but I get annoyed with that person over there. You're not living in the divine will. I'm living in the divine will, but that person over there's a pain. You're not living in the divine will. Jesus says, I am peace. My mother is the queen of peace. If peace isn't in your heart, you're not even close to living in the divine will. You have to be in the image and likeness of whom? The new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary. Why? God is starting over again with redemption. And now 2,000 years later, sanctification. This is a glorious time. Volume 31, 5:33. Oh, how I, Jesus, love the soul who calls my acts. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, walk in my walking. Come, divine will, eat in my eating. Oh, how I, Jesus, love the soul who calls my acts, uniting to herself together with me. And on the stake of my own sacrifice, of my divine love, sacrifices herself, no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, only living in the fiat, in order to attain the great good that my divine will be known by the soul who's begging for it. Dominate by the soul who's begging for it. Dominate the human will, the font of all the evils of the poor soul. Why? Because they're going to be gone. Therefore, always together with me, Jesus, and do what I, God, want you to do. Never leave me alone so as to be able to always repeat my life within you. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. That's Jesus breathing in your breathing. You're repeating his life. Jesus, walk in my walking. It's Jesus. He takes us at our word. He is walking in our walking. You're repeating his life. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Sing in my singing. I never want to be separated from you at all. I want you to be the Lord of my life in every aspect. I want to do nothing separate from you. Volume 32, 3:26, 1933. We, triune God, want this littleness of the soul. See, to be little is important. To be empty of everything and anything that does not belong to us, triune God. But I want the soul to be alive, he says, that it may feel how much we, triune God, love the soul, as well as the divine life of the works of our divine will that unfolds within that soul. That's why I'm saying, learn to know of Jesus's humor. He's always playing games with us. You just laugh a lot because here he is playing games with his children like a good father does. Therefore, you must be content with remaining alive without you being master of it. I'm in charge. Me. It's me. It's I. No. Jesus says, you must be content with remaining alive, but you're not the master of it anymore. This is the great sacrifice. This is the heroism of the soul who lives in my most holy divine will. Why? To feel alive and only to undergo the divine mastership. God is making of us his divine masterpiece, that it may do whatever it wants with us and the way that God wants in us, as much as God wants in us. put that on, put tape, cut that out and put that on your bathroom mirror. May God do whatever he wants with us in the way he wants with us, as much as he wants with us. I totally surrender to you. You are my Lord, my God, my Savior, my Master. Do with me as you wish. This is the sacrifice of sacrifices. This is the heroism of heroisms. Do you think it is trivial to feel the life of one's own human will, that it may serve not oneself, as though having no right to voluntarily lose one's freedom, that it may serve, listen to this, God's most holy divine will, giving God's most holy divine will its just rights. This is the sacrifice of sacrifices. I want to live like this. Jesus has to hear that from you. He tells this to Louisa. Why? So Louisa can say, fiat, you want this, Lord? I want this, Lord. But he has to hear it from you. This isn't just a book to read. It's a book to listen to Jesus and respond back to him. You listen to what Jesus is saying and respond back to him. So we'll end there, and we'll be back at 1 o'clock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.